when it comes to football right now. And Kevin Gemmel writes for the ESPN Pac-12 blog, our good friend. He joins us now on the program. Kevin, what's up?
How we doing, guys?
Doing great. I want to start with USC. I want to start with the Steve Sarkisian situation, if you don't mind. The LA Times released an article that's basically just a list of all of his alcohol-related incidents or people reporting him for anything that may or may not have been alcohol-related, and it feels quite a bit like piling on at this point. The guy lost his job already. He's in treatment. And then, of course, you hear that he found out he got fired with the text messages and stuff. Was there any other way for USC to handle this to make the program itself look better?
Yeah, address the issue in August when it should have been addressed. obviously, we can't go back in time and fix it when it was there, but I think after the Salute to Troy event, before this started spiraling and Steve Sarkisian was doing up-downs because that was his punishment, I think they should have recognized the issue then. Too late to do that now. If he wasn't picking up his phone, then you know they had to make a move. I don't necessarily agree with it, but we've heard of coaches telling their players via text blast that they're leaving. You know, Brady Hoke did that when I covered San Diego State, and he left for Michigan. He sent his players a text and said, "I'm leaving for Michigan." So, there's no winner in this situation. There's no good way to handle it. Steve Sarkisian loses, Pat Hayden loses, the players lose, the fans lose. It's an ugly situation all around, and it's a sad situation. And I understand the LA Times writing the story. They're trying to get as much information as they can out there. Whether that's perceived as piling on, I guess that's a personal thing, if you see it as piling on or not.
To Pat Hayden for a minute, apparently he's still in the great graces of the university president, so there doesn't appear to be anything that will fall on him, at least in the short term. But did Pat Hayden do enough due diligence when he hired Steve Sarkisian? Because by all the stories that are coming out here, this issue stems way back to Washington, and maybe a few phone calls to people well-placed in an athletic department or something might have unearthed some issues back in the Washington days.
Well, I've talked to some folks at Washington about this in the last, you know, 3-4 days. The vibe that I've gotten was that the guy liked to have fun, but it was never as extreme as it is now. And I think when you pile on the fact that he's going through a really tough divorce right now, which started all the way back in April, you add the pressure of being at USC, which, don't get me wrong, is a lot more high pressure than Washington, and I think it just compounded. So I'm sure Pat Hayden did do his due diligence on it, and he probably got a lot of the same stuff I did was, yeah, the guy likes to have fun every once in a while and blow off some steam, but it's not to the degree, and I don't think it really ramped up to the degree until he got to USC.
So what is the new coaching search going to look like at USC?
Boy, there's plenty of rumors out there. I've heard everything from Chip Kelly to John Gruden to Pete Carroll coming back. I think Gruden's a pipe dream. I think Bill Cowher's a pipe dream. I think we're going to kind of wait and see. I think Clay Helton has a chance to coach himself into that job. I think if they can run the table, now that's much easier said than done when you look at their schedule, especially starting off with Notre Dame and then, you know, Utah, Cal, Arizona, Colorado, Oregon, UCLA to close out the year. I think this is Helton's audition. I think he's very well liked and respected by the players. If they can somehow run the table and finish the season with only 2 losses and sneak into the playoff, why not Clay Helton?
We saw this story, though, 2 years ago by a guy that was equally well-liked and had a track record of being a great recruiter, an SC guy, and also a head coach, at least in the SEC. And Pat Hayden didn't give Ed Orgeron the time of day.
Yeah, that's one of the things that a lot of players are saying right now. You go through social media, you know, Deion Bailey, the really talented safety and linebacker from USC back in his day, that he would have stayed another year had they hired Ed Orgeron. But you look at the track record of Orgeron, yes, they did win. I think it was 7-2 down the stretch after Lane Kiffin was fired, 6-2 down the stretch. You look at those 2 losses, though, Notre Dame and UCLA. you got to beat Notre Dame and you got to beat UCLA if you're going to be the coach at USC. So I think Clay Helton's audition starts this weekend.
Yeah, but he did bring back the cookies. Remember that?
Oh, that's, yes. How could we forget that? He did bring back the cookies for the offensive linemen.
Kevin Gemmel's our guest here on ESPN 700, talking a little Pac-12 football. Let's look at the University of Utah. The win over Cal last weekend, or the win over Oregon, I guess, what, 3 weeks ago now?
Yes,
goodness.
Yes.
What's a better win for Utah this year?
I think Cal, simply because of the attention and the hype that was on them. With game day being in town, Cal being a ranked team, you look at the home versus road success rate in Pac-12 games right now, and it's ridiculously slanted to the road team. So I think not a lot of people expected Utah not just to beat Oregon, but to annihilate Oregon the way that they did. And that put them in the crosshairs. And so I think handling that pressure was almost just as tough. And so I think you give them a little more respect for the win against Cal.
Isn't the proper answer actually Michigan, now that we look back on things?
Well, considering, according to Kyle Whittingham, they were vanilla against Michigan, that makes that win even more impressive that they weren't pulling out all the stops in that game. So, yeah, in retrospect, that is a much more quality win, maybe than either of those other games.
What do we make of this ASU team? A month ago, they didn't look very good at all, Kevin, and now the last 2 weeks, when you look at wins against UCLA and then, you know, hammering Colorado, it appears like Todd Graham needed a couple of weeks to figure some things out, but they look much better defensively and on the offensive side.
Well, on offense, they're not turning the ball over as much. And that's, you know, I think when we talked a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I thought maybe they put a little too much on Mike Bercovici early on. And I think they've scaled back a little bit of what they want from him. They've put a little more emphasis on the running game. And I think that's taken some of the pressure off of him. I think you're seeing guys in the passing game emerge. Tim White is stepping up and having a really nice season so far. They got Kalen Ballage back, which was huge. They didn't have him for the first couple of weeks. Defensively, they're stopping the run. And if you can do that defensively, that opens up all kinds of things, especially for a Todd Graham coach defense, which loves to blitz. They love to bring crazy pressure. They're going to blitz on, I think the statistic is something like 55% of the plays they blitz on. So they bring all kinds of crazy pressure. And you look in the last couple of games, they only gave up 49 yards rushing to Colorado. They had 8 sacks. You look at the UCLA game, only 62 yards allowed against UCLA, which is a very good rushing football team. So I think the combination of scaling things back offensively and really finding their rhythm defensively has led to this streak.
When you start talking about teams that could stop the run, it makes Utah fans a little bit nervous because this offense traditionally has relied so heavily on running the football. In that Oregon game, Travis Wilson looked fully comfortable, was very formidable in the passing game as well, maybe another step back against Cal. When you look at the matchup and you say, all right, if Arizona State's going to be able to slow down the run, do you trust Travis Wilson at this point to be able to beat a team like Arizona State with his arm, knowing what we've seen from him so far this year?
I think you have to at this point. You know, the guy's put in 4 good years of work. You got to trust him at some point. And I remember you and I had several conversations in the preseason about this, if they could get competent quarterback play. And right now, 66% completion rate. That's very competent quarterback play for Travis Wilson. I think he's playing really good football. Yeah, the Cal game was a little bit of a setback, but I think the environment of that game was just a little different and a little off. When you look at Jared Goff throwing as many interceptions as he did in that game, that's atypical of Jared Goff. But, you know, you give credit also to the Utah defense, because I thought they played fantastic in that game. But I think what Wilson does is just he's handled the game very well. He's managed it very well. He's made all the right decisions when he's supposed to tuck and run, or when he's supposed to hand it off, or when he's supposed to check into a passing play. Sure, you'd like to see more touchdowns than 5 thrown at this point in the season, but they haven't needed it. All they needed is to make smart decisions. And I think the way he handles Arizona State's pressure is going to be the difference. If he can make smart decisions in the face of that pressure, Utah's going to be okay. If the pressure gets to him, if they start sacking him, if those hits start to compile, you know, by the third and fourth quarter, that could be a problem. And that's what Utah's ran into with Arizona State the last couple of seasons.
What's your expectation for Demario Richard on Saturday? I know that he's not practiced much so far this week and that they're listening to him kind of as questionable. How key is Richard to what they want to do?
Well, obviously he's important, but I've been hearing that they might move DJ Foster back. And when you have a former 1,000-yard rusher, then you can move from wide receiver back to running back. That's not terrible. You're in a pretty good position when you can do that. And other guys have been stepping up. Devin Lucian, the former UCLA wide receiver who's now at ASU, playing very well right now, as I mentioned. Tim White stepping up. Cody Cole, the tight end. They've really found a nice spot for him in the offense. So they have weapons in the passing game that if they need to move DJ Foster from wide receiver back to running back, it's not going to impact them too much. Obviously, they'd like to have Richard available to them and still keep Foster in sort of that hybrid slot role, maybe run him some more screens, that sort of thing. But I think if they do have Richard back, it helps. But it's not completely necessary.
Who's the number one team in the Pac-12 North right now?
I guess Stanford, probably. They're playing the most consistent football right now. They didn't lose last weekend because they were on bye. So I think give them a little credit for that. But at this point, I would say Stanford.
Do you think Cal's got a chance to challenge Stanford for that title this year?
I do. I think Cal's a real, real fun team to watch. I think they're getting really good play out of the defense. They're already well beyond the 17 turnovers they had last year. I think they're close to 19 or 20 now. They only had 17 all of last season. I think Jared Goff is a very good quarterback. I think we saw last week, though, he can be rattled, just like any college quarterback can be. But he's still got, I think, the best wide receiving core in the conference. They run the ball very well. They just ran into a buzzsaw defense, and we give credit where credit's due. Utah's a very good defensive football team. But as long as Cal can keep forcing turnovers and get the ball back into Jared Goff's hands, they're going to make something happen out. So I think that that the big game for the first time is going to be relevant in a few years. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Is this this Oregon downturn a flash in the pan, or is this like the start of something bad for the Ducks?
Depends what they do with their quarterback situation. That more than anything, the fact that they had no line of succession, that they had no plan after Marcus Mariota, is really what's killing them right now. You know, I wrote earlier in the week when I was doing the Pac-12 power rankings, I throw those together every Saturday night, Sunday morning. All Oregon is right now is a subpar football team with a very good running back. And I think if you can still run the football effectively, you're going to give yourself a chance to win football games. Now, I'm hearing that Vernon Adams might play this week against Washington, but they just have nothing at the position, and I don't know what they have in the future coming up either. So, you know, it could be more than a flash in the pan if they don't figure out the quarterback situation real quick.
Kevin Gemmel from the Pac-12 blog at ESPN.com. Read him there. And read his stuff throughout the week. Listen to him here. Follow him on Twitter. All those good things. What's going on in San Diego today? Anything good?
No, nothing too crazy. We're lamenting the Chargers, as we do every year. And I'm heading out to Salt Lake City on Friday. So I'll be out there.
Well, we'll see you this weekend then, Kevin. It'll be fun to have you in town. And obviously should be a fun game Saturday night against Sparky, who's been the bane of the Utah existence for the last 4 years.
It's going to be a good one. I'm really looking forward to it.